Okay, we're back in session, so we're going to move forward here. So the first part is the special offers and presentation, and Jeanette LeMay, our treasurer, is going to do a presentation on a restructuring of our accounting system to better reflect the request from the people in the budget boards.
You need to make a motion from the session. The motion.
You are correct.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We need that motion.
I make a motion.
Yep.
If it's for lot number 142, map 11, that we sell back to owner for taxes owed.
Second. John seconds that. Any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0 vote. Thank you very much. Okay, Jeanette, you're on.
Okay. So when we had the town meeting, there were some things that showed up in different areas, and people were concerned about that. So I looked at revamping our accounting structure. I handed you a packet. I really wish we had a projector, but we don't have it yet. I handed you a packet. On page one, this is our Central Maine Power account. And if you look at the bottom, if you look at those account numbers, is there anything that has a common denominator that would tell you it's electricity? I don't see anything either. So in order to revamp and come up with a common structure to answer some questions, whether, you know, it's supplies, electricity, telephone, to be able to run some management reports in that regard, I looked at revamping our system. The first thing, if you turn to page two, I want you to understand what funds are. Funds are a pot of money. Where does the money come from? For instance, number one, for general fund, that's your taxpayer base minus your revenues. Number five is your grants. That's where our ARPA money is sitting right now. Six is trust. You only have a cousin school at this point. Seven are your reserves, and so forth and so on. That is the key to everything. What a fund is its own separate entity commingled. If you're familiar with parent subsidiary companies, that's exactly what it is. Okay, it's just a different pot of money. Any questions on that? Because that drives everything. It has a general ledger, it has a revenue, it has an expense for every single fund. So that's what drives everything here. Okay? So page three, I show you your current account structure. In the general ledger, we have fund, account, suffix. In the revenue, we have department and revenue. In expense, we have department, expense, and object. There is a fourth section in TRIO that we're not currently using, and that's called the division. So what I'm requesting is we leave general ledger alone. It looks good. It's working well. That we change revenue to add one digit at the very beginning of the department. That one digit is going to coincide with the fund. Right now, the fund is tied to it, but behind the scenes. So when you're looking at your reports, you don't know what fund those are. If you're looking at an expense number in the accounts payable report, you have no idea what fund that's coming from. I'm suggesting we put one digit in that front to say this is what the fund is, and then it's very obvious unless you're looking at TRIO behind the scenes. The revenue portion, I'm saying let's just leave it alone. This is going to open it up so that we have more numbers to use with growth. The expense, I'm recommending for department, we add that one number for fund. So each one would show you, when you're looking at your accounts payable reports, The first number is going to tell you where that money's coming from. I'm suggesting we add the division back into the mix. We're currently not using it. I'd like to use that for where is it? Town Hall, Chadbourne Field, Bunganut, streets. It gives us the area so we can run a report no matter where it shows up in the budget on, say, Town Hall, on roads, on plowing for Town Hall transfer station, no matter where it shows up. Division, expense, I want to, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
I missed what suffix was in the first under general ledger line.
It's just a two-digit number that gives us an extra field. So, for instance, if we have three checking accounts, we can use 01, 02, 03.
Okay. And that would be, so basically, I'm just trying to get,
nope.
You know how I think.
That's what I'm here for.
Is whenever you look at a number, you'll have a series of numbers that'll tell you all the information you need, whether it's out of general ledger, what account it's out of, and then there'll be other numbers that give a little more detail. So I'm assuming when we get our report, we get, at the very least initially, there'll be like a cheat sheet with these numbers.
Oh, they're in your packets.
Okay. All right. I'm ahead of myself.
So, like you were asking about the suffix in the general ledger account, for instance, 100s are typically used for assets. 101 is usually used for cash accounts. And then if you have three cash accounts, 01, 02, 03. Making sense? Okay. So, on the recommended account structure for expense, on the department, we're going to add that one number to indicate fund. Division, we're going to open that up and we're going to use that for area or property. The expense, we're going to leave alone, but we're going to renumber those. And then the object code, I want to add one more field to that to give us room to grow. Any questions on that page? No? Okay. So on page 4, without getting into the nitty-gritty, these are my recommended departments. You have salaries and benefits, general administration, animal welfare, etc. This would also coincide with your warrant articles. Questions? I know it's a lot to take in. Page 5. And we have room to grow, so those may not be all the ones we use. They're just the ones we're going to use currently. Everybody ready for 5? These are the divisions. This is the field I'm suggesting we turn on and start using. So I can run a report on division, and it will show me everything for Town Hall. I can run a report on Parks and Rec. I can run a report on the transfer station, regardless of where it shows up in the budget. Okay, page 6. This is what I'm recommending for your expense codes. Your expense and object codes are going to coincide with each other. So if your expenses are 10 for personnel, your object codes are all going to begin with a 1. If it's a 20, your object code is all going to begin with a 2. Object codes are on your next page if you want to take a look at that.
something we can just pick a number between your range?
With something that makes sense. It gives us room to grow.
Services. We don't have striping under roads listed. That's a contractor. So
yep, do we need a separate number for striping?
You know, this is a...
You know, this is going to be, it's a management tool.
I got you.
So if you want to run reports to tell you some information, what are we spending on supplies throughout the town? What are we spending on plowing throughout the town? What are we spending on electricity throughout the town? Where are we spending, what are we spending at town hall? It's a management tool to be able to run these reports and answer the questions. Does that make sense? Okay, so on page 8, if you look towards the bottom, these are all the electricity accounts on your left-hand side with the current structure. The new account on the right-hand side with the new structure. Can you see how I could pull information, electricity only, regardless of what department it falls into? Whereas we can't do that at this current moment. Questions? Okay, so page 9. I contracted Trio and asked them how much it would be, and I've circled that cost there for you. We do have some money in line 10-10-24 that we could cover this with.
Is that per year?
Nope, that's a one-time shot. Once it's set up and we've done it, what we'll have to do is create a secondary file. I'll build everything into that file, coordinating it with the budget, and then on July 1st, we'll roll that information into the live file. Questions, comments, frustrations, heartburn?
Just for everybody that's listening, I don't know if you said what the amount was. It's $525.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, Jess.
Is that with the current burning material that we're using right now?
Yes.
So without burning material at all?
That is correct. And are we in the web version yet?
No, the web version will be installed. I think it's December 9th.
So that'll just roll into it. So
correct.
It'll be all ready.
So it's not something you want to move forward with yet? You want to digest it and think about it?
I'm fine with it, but
this is Costco's. This is elementary construction accounting, Costco's.
Yeah.
This is
elementary.
It's a management tool. And in order to use the management tool, put pieces into place that are going to answer your questions that you need to manage.
To be able to call up concrete, call up there, electricity.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's Costco.
And I would add that I bet there are moments where any one of you might need to ask her, could you tell me how much we spent on X? And I'll bet you that's a time-consuming thing with what you're working with now. But then it's almost like, yeah, give me 5 minutes to make sure I got paper and the printer and I'll bring it up and here you go.
Right. Pull up the line up.
Yeah.
So what would you gentlemen like to do? You want some time to think about it or are you ready to move forward with it? I'm good. I know you've been working on it for quite a few months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Good.
Yeah.
So it takes confusion.
I see prevent.
That old structure, new structure really works well.
Yeah, it really pulls it out. It really lets you see what we're trying to achieve by doing that. in being able to answer, you know, what are we spending on office supplies? Mm-hmm. Go in, hit number, whatever, boom, there's your report.
Good job.
Can we get a motion to do that?
Motion to accept Jeanette's,
the next restructure.
Yeah, restructure of the Icon Holocaust's numbering system.
You have a second? Any other discussion before we vote?
Should the cost be in there?
$525.
There you go.
All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome.
Okay. Am I missing anything? Item two. Okay. Hearing from delegations and public input. This is the point in time that anybody who would like to bring up something to our attention can have up to 5 minutes to address the board. Leo.
As you guys requested, all people involved in the cemetery committee. Down at the very bottom, you'll see that there's state statutes. The state statutes that I highlighted of extreme interest to you guys. It's all in section 13, and the paragraphs are 1101, 1102, and I believe it was the 1221 that detailed that the town is obligated to take care of that cemetery. Have you heard anything from Rick Hull?
No.
Okay, so I'll also tell you this. We started this process back in June of 20. And here it is now, well beyond a year. Rick has done nothing. Rick's going to do nothing. He hasn't done nothing. I don't know why we have to waste our time. Amos is so disgruntled that he doesn't even want to pay attention to any of this anymore. He just wants it over with. And the rest of us just want a cemetery that we know who to go to.
Thank you very much. We will deal with it. Okay, does anybody else have something? Yes. If you could tell us who you are.
Yeah, sure. I'm just going to come over here so I can take my nails off.
Okay.
I'm Amy Littell. I'm one of the Lyman School Board members, school board director members. We have 3 Lyman school board directors. One of them resigned at our first meeting because of a conflict of interest for him, which was very unfortunate. But that's left us for the last 2 months with only JoJo Dryden and myself as school board members from Lyman. So we're down a seat. We're not adequately represented. The town is not adequately represented. We're only filling 2 of those seats. I called at the beginning of September, left a message, an email was sent to the board to someone on the board. I called again 2 more times and expressed my concerns about the seat not being filled, and I still haven't heard anything back about even if a need has been put out to the community. One of the things that I have heard is that nobody's interested.
Norm Dubois has expressed interest.
I've also expressed interest from the very beginning, and I was told that there's nothing. I've given you my.
It's in the packet.
Chloe Miles. I am Amy's daughter. However, I've also. It will stand up.
I've also. I represented the town of Kennebunk on their school board while I was in high school, as a student representative, and I now have 3 children who are in this district and have a very clear and strong interest in representing this district, and I reached out on 3 occasions to the clerk expressing my interest, giving my email and phone number, and was told that she would pass that along to the board of directors. However, it was only last week when my mother talked to Polly at voting that we were informed that there was a form that needed to be filled out, in regards to that application and being considered for the position. In the meantime, for the past 2 months, we have been underrepresented on the school board. While there has been interest and has been a desire for that position to be filled, it hasn't been done. And also, there haven't been steps taken to inform anyone who is interested that there is a form and that there is a means to go about filling that seat. So that is concerning, and I see that committee applications for the planning board and school board are down at item number 7, but this is a public input session, and I think that this is a very fair time to express that this is concerning as a parent and as a community member, that this isn't a priority for our select board when such a great amount of our tax dollars and our community's well-being is rooted in our school system. There needs to be adequate representation on the school board, and that doesn't seem to be a priority. So I will put out there that I have expressed interest in this position, and not because my mother is on the school board, but because I have a history of representing, from a student perspective, I have a history of representing the student body on the school board, and now I would like to do that for the town that I call my home and that I'm raising my family in. So I hope that this can be resolved, and that if there needs to be a vote among the select board members, that that can be something that can be public knowledge or a public hearing in some way. But that I do think it's very fair to realize that I've expressed an interest since this position has been available and haven't been told about any way to actually fill it's in the community.
Thank you very much.
Said.
Anybody else have any input? Okay, we're going to move on from now to the mail. We have a memorandum from our treasurer, Jeanette, about the fiscal year audit for 2021. The audit has been completed. It says, attached, you will find your letter concerning significant audit matters to which there were none. Quality aspects of accounting practices. All significant transactions have been recognized in the financial statements in the proper period. Under accounting estimates, the disclosures in the financial statements are neutral, consistent, and clear. Under difficulties encountered in performing the audit, the comment was, we encountered no difficulties in dealing with management in performing and completing our audit. No misstatements were detected as a result of the audit procedure. Disagreements with management. It says, we are pleased to report that no such disagreements arose during the course of our audit. And under the preparation of the financial statements, the town has relied on its independent external auditors to prepare the GAAP financial statements. This is also noted in the fiscal year 2019 letter. And then cross-training of office staff, it was noted that due to multiple personnel changes this year, there was limited cross-training for finance functions in the event of unexpected absences. And that is the extent of that. There is another letter from Mindy Sear. She's the one that did the audit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says, enclosed are the final pieces of the audit for the town of Lyman for the year ended June 30, 2021. The first letter encloses a letter to those charged with governance and outlines the approach we took in conducting the audit. The second letter, enclosed letter, is a letter of significant deficiencies in internal control. As inscribed in the letter, we are not expressing an opinion regarding the effectiveness of the town's internal control. However, the items outlined in the letter are items we noted during the audit process that should be reviewed and possibly improved to better serve the town. While I've been reading, I might as well continue. Yeah, I know it is.
The two items that they're recommending, though, like you just read, they're the last two items on the memo. I tried to summarize for you so you didn't have to read through all of that.
That was pretty long. The last two items, so preparation of financial statements?
The gap, which has been an issue. It's typical of small towns to have their auditors do their gap financial reporting. It's a little different than what comes out of TRIO because there's depreciation, OPEB for, I think it was GASB 34, 35, and that's been an ongoing thing. If you look back to some of the other management letter discussions that the auditors have sent to you. And the other thing was the cross-training.
Cross-training.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Super. Okay. We had from the Zoning Board of Appeals, there was a decision, administrative appeal decision, and I'm just going to read, it's my turn, I'll read it so everybody can hear it. This was to Jonathan Tibbetts of Swets Lane. And it says, this is to inform you that the Zoning Board of Appeals has acted on your appeal of the code enforcement officer's denial of a building permit for an accessory dwelling on your property. The Lyman code enforcement officer disapproved a building permit application for an accessory dwelling unit August 30th of 2021. Your appeal to the Zoning Board of Appeals was received September 29th, 2021. All required fees were paid. All required notices were sent. Zoning Board of Appeals met to consider the appeal on October 26th. The ZBA determined the code enforcement officer should approve the requested building permit. The issues were the appellant currently has four permitted buildings on his property, a house, garage, and two barns. One barn is for calving, the other is for weaning the calves in a commercial operation. The property is 11.1 acres in the general purpose district. Article 6.13.1b in the Lyman Zoning Ordinance states, in the general purpose district, there shall be no more than one building for each principal use, and no more than two buildings for an accessory use as limited by lot coverage. Article 6.2.2d sets maximum lot coverage, for buildings of 20%. The appellant says that the two barns serve two entirely different purposes, are equipped very differently, and are required for his commercial farming operation. Therefore, they should each be considered buildings for different principal uses. Therefore, the new additional dwelling unit would constitute the secondary accessory structure on the property and should be permitted. The town code enforcement officer rebutted. Maine Municipal Association attorney advised that the Lyman zoning ordinance is confusing and ill-defined, but they recommend disapproval of the permit. The town of Lyman attorney advised similarly. Aerial photos were shown to the board of numerous locations in the town showing similar agricultural operations with multiple agricultural buildings that were all permitted. Based on the legal advice given, the code enforcement officer denied the building permit concerning one of the barns as an accessory structure, not a structure for a different principal use. Three members of the ZBA voted to have the code enforcement officer issue the building permit for an accessory dwelling. One member abstained. Oh, Rick. We have a letter from Bergen and Parkinson attorneys regarding the Charter Commission, and the Charter Commission has requested that his office represent them, and they have agreed to do as follows. They're going to provide the following services. I'm not reading this word for word. That we understand that these attorneys or paralegals involved will exercise his or her best judgment while performing the limited legal services set out above, but also to recognize attorneys involved are not promising any particular outcome. Attorneys involved have not made any independent investigations of the facts and are relying on your disclosure of the facts. The attorneys involved have no further obligation to the Charter Commission after completing the above described legal services unless and until you enter into another written agreement. The attorneys do not represent the Charter Commission for taxation or financial planning, and they do not provide any advice concerning these topics in this particular matter. So the fees and cost is that they're going to charge us $200 an hour, and unless a different fee arrangement is established in Clause B, the hourly fees shall be payable at the time of service. Time will be charged in increments of 1/10 of an hour. So that's our cost. But the town agrees to pay certain out-of-pocket costs incurred in connection with this, not limited to court costs, fine fees, sheriff fees, deposition costs, mileage, exhibit preparation, photographs, fees of appraisers, expert witnesses, and other such expenses. And I'm assuming that they're looking for us to sign this as a contract.
Jessica?
Yeah.
As chair?
Sure.
Have you seen this?
Yes.
And you're good with it?
Yep. And just to clarify that, all of that is really, the Charter Commission is doing our review of the charter, and the attorneys there's for the purpose of, if we get into a point where we want to ask an actual legal question, then we would reach out to him, or at the end, he reviews and signs off on the final report. So it'd be pretty limited interaction, from what I understand, based on
that. Well, the only thing I didn't see is, I know what's budgeted, what happens if the cost is going to go over? Where do we sit?
So we've agreed that all of the costs will come, I will communicate directly with the attorney, so it wouldn't be like anybody on the Charter Commission can just send an email. So I don't anticipate that we would have that happen. I think our Charter Commission budget is like $15,000 total. And last time, Don, at the 2015 Charter Commission, I think their total legal fees, with some extra back and forth that I don't anticipate us having, is like $3,000. So.
And we've only spent $325 or something like that. We've only spent like $325 for the so far.
Yeah. They have experience in.
We interviewed, Don and I had phone conversations with four different attorneys. Two had conflict of interest with the town. Two came and did a presentation to the entire Charter Commission, and then we voted on which attorney we would like to choose.
Awesome.
Okay.
set a limit on it? Or what has ever been discussed with that youth in the end?
You mean as far as money?
Yeah.
That's what's budgeted. You don't spend over that. Here in simple, it's like any other committee. That's the budget.
Okay.
I mean, that's my recollection. But I mean, it's just like, I'll pick on Christina. Cemetery committee, you know, that's what you got. That's what you spend. Park and rent, that's what you got. That's what you spend.
It's not broken out, you know, by legal or other.
No.
It's all one.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
You need a motion? So move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Tom seconds that. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor?
Could I be 100% clear on what we're voting on, please?
We are voting on signing the contract with Bergen and Parkinson,
okay.
At a rate of $200 an hour.
Okay, all right. And they're understand they're going to manage their money. They're going to stay in budget.
I hope so.
Yes.
Well, no, I hope so. That's what you're going to do.
Okay. All those in favor? 5-0. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Did we actually vote?
Vote on.
Yeah, all right. I'm just now somewhere else.
Okay. All right. We have a letter from the county commissioners written to Leo Rule. And it says, we are honored to announce that you have been selected by your town of Lyman to be awarded the Spirit of America Award for 2021. So the Spirit of America Foundation was established in Augusta, Maine to encourage volunteerism, and it allows the Spirit of America Foundation tribute to be presented in the name of any Maine municipality. The first Spirit of America Foundation Award was presented to Alma Jones by Augusta Mayor William Burney on November 26, 1991. Governor Baldacci and Angus King and Maine Municipal Association Director Chris Lockwood are among many who have played key roles in the 500-plus Spirit of America ceremonies over the years. So, congratulations to Leo.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely been around for a while.
It's a nice ceremony they have for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Davey Riley won it 1 year. And it's really kind of a nice ceremony.
Nice, very nice.
So, did Leo get his plaque?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a public notice on a notice of intent to file from his song Ready Mix. Is intending to file a variance application with the Maine Department of Environmental Protection pursuant to the provisions of performance standards for excavations, section of numbers, and on or about November 19th, 2021. A public informational meeting will be held at the Town Hall in Lyman on Wednesday, November 17th at 5 p.m. The application is for variance of His Song Stonefield Quarry operating permit to excavate below the seasonal high water table at the following location. The His Song Quarry located at 98 Old Pinbuck Road in Lyman. A request for a public hearing. The request of the Board of Environmental Protection assumed jurisdiction over this application must be received by MEDEP in writing no later than 20 days after the application is found by the MEDEP to be complete and accepted for processing. A public hearing may or may not be held at the discretion of the Commissioner or Board of Environmental Protection. Public comment in the application will be accepted throughout the process of the application. Any? No, I don't know what else you can say. Okay, complaints. We have a barking dog complaint. Kennymoke Pond Road. He barks till after 11 p.m. Doesn't say what the address is. Doesn't say.
Well, on that side, it says Wentworth Street.
Yeah, it says right here.
Complaints for 2 hours.
I'm reading the document.
It's saying on the minute that during the handoff.
So we should make the animal control officers aware of that so they can take care of that. And we have a second barking dog complaint. So do you know?
It's for the same.
Sounds like they're both for the same.
It's for the same. Did same dog. Have the animal control officer?
I don't know. Those were just handed to me by the clerk. So I don't know if you contacted them or not.
Okay.
In the past, this board has taken over contacting animal control. I don't know if you remember that, Bill. We took over the interactions between the town and animal control instead of the clerk.
I do remember that.
Okay. All right. I was just.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
Okay.
Yep.
So that question as a congressman, so then is it clear that animal control was contacted?
We'll make sure that they get contacted.
So they will get contacted.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we just got that notice just a couple minutes ago. Yeah.
Okay. October 18th, 2021, regular meeting minutes. Accept the minutes for October 18th of 2021. Do I have a second? Rusty seconds that. Any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Okay, payroll warrant number 24 in the amount of $19,536.80. Fiscal year 2022 in the amount of $618,402.75.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
One second.
You all set there? Okay. All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. All right. We move on to unfinished business of Oscar Littlefield. Through the list of abutters on the road, and they updated the list of owners to reflect the current ownership. He has revised the deed to grant a 20 feet on each side of the center line, similar to the 2017 proposal. He also added a clause stating that the town agrees that the granting of the easement will not create or increase a nonconformity with any land use ordinances. He proposes to send a letter to each abutter and give them a contact person to answer any questions. And that could either be the code enforcement officer or it could be the attorney, Brad Warren, whichever we decided we would want to do. He would explain the following. The town of Lyman wishes to make improvements to Oscar Littlefield Road. The town has maintained this road for many years. However, there is no clear documentation of its status. There is no clear documentation of its width. The town is not permitted to expend public funds on private property, so a public easement must be confirmed. We are asking all property owners along the road to confirm the status of this road by granting an easement that extends 20 feet from the center line. This town is not looking to move the location of the road as currently traveled. The town simply needs to confirm its width and status as a public easement. Basically, it asks for the people to sign the easement. There's a copy of that easement in your packet.
Who's going to be responsible for getting the site?
From what the letter says, they were looking for somebody. They wanted to mail them out and have the people sign them or return them. And then if there are any that do not sign them, they would deal with that after the fact as whatever is left over. But they would have to have somebody that would be a contact person to answer questions if any questions arise for people to contact. So that they would know that when they got the letter with the easement.
I just suggest the verbiage of that, how he explains it goes with the document itself.
The section that is kind of italicized?
Yep.
I think that's what the letter going with it is, yes. That's what he intended. Because it says dear property owner. It's like dear valued customer. What's that?
It's a long wait.
Well, it is. I agree.
How are we going to work it with the notary if you're mailing these out?
Well, the people would have to have that notarized if they signed it. You know, one of the ways, to do that is to mail them out. But the other way was, I don't remember the gentleman's name that was here from Oscar Littlefield Road. I'm sure he would make sure everybody got it. Because they want this resolved.
I think they should mail that.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Do I have a second on that motion?
And then they're responsible to get it notarized themselves.
Well, I mean, all they have to do is come in.
Right.
They come
right.
In, ask their questions,
absolutely.
And get it notified.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way.
Okay.
How expensive is certified mail?
Right now, about $750-ish.
Yes.
Yeah.
It probably takes 3 or 4 weeks. From Alfred to Lyman takes 3 weeks. It's awful.
Clear. Also, with certified mail, they're doing that COVID thing, just doing COVID-19 on it and not getting it on.
It's a lot cheaper really? Than having them have it explained through town council.
What is it?
To mail it out.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Do you think it should be certified?
I do.
Then say, put that in the motion.
You may add that in the motion.
Okay. Obviously. Okay. Any other questions for anybody before we vote? John? Very cool. All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you very much.
I've got a question. If they all don't sign, are we dead in the water?
No.
The next week?
No. Speaking with the town attorney, he said that let's get everybody signed that's going to sign,
yeah.
And he'll deal with whoever holds out. It's probably going to be one or two people.
Yeah.
And he said there was ways to deal with that and get it resolved. But he said having everything else done makes it easy.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
I think some of the issues that are going to come up is there's at least 6 properties that I know of that their property pin is on the edge of the road. So if we're asking for a 20-foot easement from center line, that means we're going to ask them for an easement for 10 feet onto their land. And I think there's going to be some rebuttal against that.
Well, let's see where it goes at this point.
Where did a 40-foot easement come from? I mean, that road at best is 16 feet.
That was the wording in the one that was done in 2017.
Okay.
Go ahead. Are you thinking maybe it should be near 15 feet than 20?
It definitely shouldn't be 40 feet.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have a lot of repercussions from asking for that kind of width.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
We'll be lucky. Most of the road we could probably average pavement at 16 feet, and that's
right.
It. No shoulder, no ditching. So to jump up to 40, I think if you get a lot of people that don't send things back, I don't know what the attorney's going to do. You can't go on the assumption that if 5 people return out of, say, 35 houses down there, I wouldn't think you're going to be moving forward with 5 people that say yes and 30 that say that don't respond or have problems.
Yeah. And at 40, your right of way is going to be potentially what, bigger than your road?
Oh, twofold over.
Yeah.
Most of that road we could probably get 16 feet of paving out of at best. So you're only talking 8 feet each side of center line. And to ask for 20 feet, I think there's going to be a lot of problems, just my opinion.
What's your number?
it gone, John?
It's gone.
Was town council aware of the width of the road?
Yes. Yeah. If you read the deeds, there's a section of the road that's 40 foot width, and there's a section that's 30 foot width by the deeds. But the road is not where it's deeded. It's physically in a different location. And Brad's right. There are garages with their parents right on the edge of the road. The garage is on the edge of the road.
Okay, so then why would we recommend a 40-foot right-of-way?
Probably hasn't physically looked at it, has it?
He received all the information, all those maps, didn't he? He didn't get rid of the evidence that was on there, so he knows about it.
It sounds like maybe there is a priority of 40-foot.
Well, there is.
Despite the fact that the location is...
If that's the measurement that he's going to go with, there has to be language in there that basically the town's not going to do anything never going to claim that land.
But there is, what they had said, it said the town is not looking to move the location of the road as currently traveled, but they also...
But I read that, what you just said, as in right now.
Right.
What about 10 years from now?
Right.
So there has to be something added there. Or the measurement has to be done.
The problem with keeping it Y, Bill, is what if 10 years down the road they decide to change all the poles down there and they want to put in 40-foot power poles? Typically, all the poles are always put in a town right away. Well, now somebody might end up with a power pole on a beautiful lawn, which they've never had to have before.
Well, especially if it's 40 foot wide.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend to use for width?
John and Brad are more knowledgeable on that.
I mean, we're going to have to pave, 16 feet anyway?
We can get 16 all the way. The very beginning we can get more, and that's where that 40 foot right of way is now. It's probably the first 200 feet into that project. It's wide down through there, and then it narrows right up as it gets past that first curve. But we can definitely get 16 feet all the way. Now, that's not real wide, but it's definitely maintainable, and it's not like there's 200 cars an hour that have to pass each other down through there.
What about your shoulder?
Well, there aren't any shoulders there now, Dave, anywhere in the road, because all the road is lower than all the properties.
Yeah, there's no drainage, there's no shoulders.
That's why the maintenance is so high, because it comes down and it rolls, you can't crown it and keep it.
When we take it over, are we going to raise the road? When we're not going to raise it and ditch it?
Well, so Brad, you planning to gravel the road or raise it up at all before it gets paved or anything?
Well, it would be shimmed for sure, with probably 3 or 4 inches worth of material to shim it and get a proper crown on it, but it's definitely not going to come up high to take care of. But most of the properties as you're going in on the left-hand side have a high bank, and the ones on the right-hand side and the lake side are all drop off.
Right.
So you have to have a balance there.
So the next line after you just read there, it also says the town simply needs to confirm its width and its status as a public easement. Is that something
the width right now, Tom, is what it is, basically.
Yeah. Is that where you can make the adjustments to make the thing work?
I think that we should measure it in a bunch of places and take an average and see what we can get, and maybe not go much further than what it already is.
One of the other parts of this letter is he says he has added a clause stating that the town agrees that the granting of the easement will not create or increase a nonconformity with any land use ordinance.
Right, but it still doesn't say 10 years down the road, like Brian said, when there's an easement there, see if you can come in and utilize that.
Well,
the easement signatures.
A prime example, Bill, is what if we decided to ditch the road?
No.
Because a watershed was a problem. Now we can take out 5 feet of somebody's beautiful lawn because we have the easement.
The first part of Oscar Littlefield Road is not Oscar Littlefield Road. The first part is called Wood Road, and that's the 40-foot width.
Correct.
And then it drops to 30 feet when you actually get to the Oscar Littlefield Road. So, do we say 20 feet, 16 feet? What do you think it should be? Because that's the section of road you're dealing with.
I think 24 is a lot more feasible than 40. Because you're only going to utilize 16 feet of it.
Did you say 20 and 24?
24.
Again, it gives you 4 feet each side.
That at least gives us a little bit of room. If we do have to do something down the road, we can, without really infringing upon lot issues. I just think 40 feet, there's going to be a lot of pushback on that.
So I'll amend my motion to reduce 40 foot to 24 foot.
So you're making a new motion to change the width from 40 feet to 24 feet. Do I have a second for that? John seconds that. Any more discussion? All those in favor? It's 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay. Did you bring the price in with you, Dave, on that storage?
It went directly to Outback.
You got it? Is it here? All right. I'm sorry. 40 by 8.
Were we getting, I only see one price.
It's
multiple. No, it's same.
Oh. Brad, did you get anything back on the storage units?
I did get back from Hale Trailer. They do not do rentals anymore. And I had reached out to Main Trailer, and they have yet to contact me back. So that was my contact. I don't know who you got a hold of, Dave.
Will Scott.
Yeah. They're about the biggest game around, Will Scott is.
Is there pricing in here, Dave? Mm-hmm. I didn't notice.
There is.
Yeah. So, Dave, is that a purchase price or a lease? It's a lease. For how long, a year? Or is that a month?
It's $7.25 a month.
Plus, right?
Plus the home delivery.
Plus the, what's this final return charge? Fuel surcharge, return.
Well, that's you're basically paying up front when it comes yet. But.
And are these heated, Dave?
Yes.
They're heated, cool.
And AC. I'm not sure which one you're looking at. One has an office and one isn't. I think the one with the office was actually less money.
This is the one with the office.
Really?
Yeah. That one was nine.
So are we ready to do anything with this at this point, or do we need to do more research?
The research is, do we really need it? Do we really need another office right here, right now? And do we need the storage right here, right now?
I think that, okay. Yes, Brian?
Has the Town Hall Expansion Committee, even met? Anytime?
Not for a while, no.
Have they been called to meet? I mean, it sounds like an issue.
That's something that wouldn't happen for a long time anyway. So, if this...
Well, this sounds like it would fall under that kind of... That committee...
Quite a difference from the two.
I mean, the identifying of what is actually going out to be stored hasn't even been done yet. We talked about that.
Does it have to remain on property? That's another question. Does it have to stay right here?
How much room you got in the snowmobile club? You got about half of that, and he was in there. I'm sorry, I didn't know. I'm just thinking.
Got to be heated though, John.
It's not heated.
Well, it at $750 a month. It's on town property. We don't own the building. You know, you see where I'm kind of sort of going with this? I don't know.
I guess there could be potentially
other options within the town.
That's true.
At some point it came up, John, that it had to stay on property, right? They wanted it to stay here. That's a big issue in itself.
I don't think it's absolutely necessary that it all needs to stay on property.
So then
it needs to be secure. I don't believe, from what we've looked at, it needs to be heated at this point.
We're looking at
cold storage.
So then have other options within the town that are...
There's a new storage facility on 111 that has four units that are heated.
Yeah.
That are, I think, 10 by 14 or 12 by 16 or something like that for a third of that money.
I missed the first half of that. Sorry.
There's a storage, built brand new storage facility on 111.
Yeah.
And there's four of those units that are heated and secure.
Yep.
For a third of the money.
What size?
I think that one of them was 12 by 14. The other might have been 12 by 16 or something like that.
We just have to identify what's going on.
Well, it seems like that would be a really important first step to identify exactly what needs to be stored and how much space that is legitimately going to take up. Why get quotes on something you don't know?
We did talk about it before, having the heads of the departments identify what does not need to be in their office. We measure them up. We're done.
The question is, where is it going to go? That's really what we need to come up with a plan on. And the problem is we need to do it now, even if it's temporary.
How heavy are these things?
Some of them are very heavy.
Who's going to move it?
We're going to have to get a moving company to move it.
Which is an expense.
It's an expense.
And it doesn't have to be heated.
From what I've seen so far, no, it does not need to be heated.
Is there any personal documents that shouldn't be out of town?
I can't answer that. I do not know.
Shouldn't you find out exactly what you need and what you're going to have to do before you start making decisions on what to do?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And yes, you are absolutely correct.
But how can you...
But on the other hand, we need to do something to make office space right now.
Well, so, what's the problem with telling the department heads we need the information right now on what you need to get rid of? Okay, what's that going to take, a week? I mean, they sitting in an office with stuff around them, they should know what they got to get rid of.
Correct.
And it needs to be done.
More than you and I take that. I got an idea. Before you volunteer. Because I can hear, I think that's an HR issue.
All right, if you want to do that, that would be good. And maybe for the next meeting, we can have put together a plan of what we need to move. Because we really do need office space.
We definitely do.
The office space you can get with a simple 10 by 16 trailer from William Scott. Just an office trailer. You know, which wouldn't be, you know, $750 a month. That takes care of the office problem.
And we still have no one making plans on expanding the town hall.
We're pretty
Which
is what we need.
Sounds like the committee should get together. The same. If there's a need for this, why hasn't it?
Well, if something has to happen right away, I would. Temporary.
That's a different
temporary.
Well, we need the problem is we need to spend time to really look at the whole situation, but we need to do something right now so we can keep moving. So that would help alleviate that whole issue, at least temporarily.
Okay, if Tom and Rusty work with the heads, identify what's there, and measure it up.
Yep.
We should be good to go in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
For 3 or 4 months.
All right.
So you have to define that time-wise, right? I mean, I'd hate like to see it get caught with it.
Well, I'm thinking the work that's going to go on there, John, that I'm going to do is in the main.
Okay,
all
right.
It's not in addition. Yep. You know, so there's in the addition, there's one room, the lot would need that change.
Yeah. I just didn't want his generosity to spank it down the line. That's all.
Well, I would think if we get stuff moved so we can make space, at least to begin, then identify everything else that needs to be moved and how to deal with it, we should be able to do something within like a couple months.
I'd rather not. I mean, $10,000.
Oh, it's a lot of money.
To spend
a lot of money.
That.
It is.
We need some swing space right now. Yeah. Screwed up to me. You know, to figure out what we're going to do here in the office space.
Yeah.
Spaces. Because they have
cram.
Full.
Cram.
File cabinets.
Yeah, I understand that. Still got to know what you got to move.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Just like your methodology.
Just real quick, to Brian's point, I think now would be the time to reinstate or re-engage the Town Hall Expansion Committee, if anything, for the purpose of seeing how much needs to be stored and what level of space we do need here, so that when they propose moving forward, they have that information.
Yes, go ahead.
The hard thing about it,
Go ahead, Sue.
We kind of need all the file cabinets we got.
Well, there's some offices we know we can't take stuff out of.
Right.
We understand that.
Right.
But there's other offices that are crammed full of stuff. And when we talk to the people, it's like, I might look for something once every 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those are the things we want to get moved out of.
Gotcha.
You know?
Well, it seems the reinstatement of the expansion committee would be important, but to very clearly, before any decision is made, to very clearly identify what office space is needed for and what storage is needed to be moved. Because without that very specific information, how can you justify making a $700+ a month payment for what? We don't know what needs to be stored, and we haven't specified what the space is needed for, so how can that really be a justifiable expense?
Can I make mention of the one area we're looking for without getting into great detail? But we're in need of one office for one of our services that needs
people sharing. We need just for two people to share.
Well, yeah, but they have confidential conversations with people. And there's nothing in here right now. So one of the thoughts was if we had this trailer outside or whatever. I mean, we've looked at that storage room, but, you know, you've got to consider ventilation and, you know, heat and the whole nine yards. So, you know, we're looking at some different, we definitely have.
So what about looking at contracting office space specifically? within other settings? Is that not an option if it's specifically for confidential office space? Is that not?
Well, the difficulty that you get into when you move away from here, now you have the phone communications, the extra cost for setup, the connectivity, the computer interfaces. You've got a lot of things to deal with when you have a separate site to deal with. So we've been looking at all these things for the past 4 or 5 months, and we're just trying to move forward with it. Yes, sir.
It's $700 and something a month. How long would it take to pay for a new addition?
Probably a lot more than $725 a month.
Well, I mean, if you add that up over years, how much is that? How many years are you going to be it? Plus, if you need any expansion space in the future for offices, you can plan that into your building.
Well, I agree. We're looking for the in-between to get us to move until those decisions are made what to do for expansion. Okay. We all set with that?
Yes.
Okay. Just wait and make sure that you're all set. I don't want to cut you off.
It looks like you had more to say, Tom.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were moving on.
All right. So, okay. Department and committee reports. Jeanette.
So, you have your expenditure report. Not much has changed. I've done some more encumbering. For instance, the person that cleans the office, I've encumbered everything out for the end of the year. You do have $10,000. To take a look at what to do with this building, and another $5,000 to rewrite the personnel policy, because we need EPL. There's no EPL on that policy.
I remember seeing that in a minute that you had written up, that there was a budget for rewriting the personnel policy. I didn't realize that.
I have $5,000 for that.
Let's go.
To do that.
Okay.
All
right. But do you have any questions in
regards to that? Okay, you all set? I'm all set. Nobody has any questions.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, tax collector's report. So?
Yeah, do you have my copy in there? Yeah, I'm sure you do. I know Donna put it in there. So it looks like when I did a collection estimate the other day, as of November 4th, we'd already collected in taxes $3,369,514, so nearly half of what the budget is. So that's awesome that we're this far ahead right now. And my excise tax, I've been keeping an eye on that. It seems like more and more people kind of get used to renewing online, and that trend is keeping going. Since COVID, people have started doing that. So that's good. The numbers are fluctuating monthly slightly, and as of July of last year, we had collected, I think I've been telling Jeanette about this too, looked like $157,000, and this year it was $120,000, down $30,000, only because last year, COVID, they allowed people to not register their cars. So in June and July, we had a huge hit of those cars that weren't registered March, April, or May. So it kind of offsets a little bit. It makes it look like we're not up to what we were last year, but it's really only off $30,000 at this point. So I don't see the last 2 months, 3 months have been pretty much neck and neck for what we collected last year. So I don't think there's going to be an issue there unless something big happens. But so if any of you have any questions.
Brandon's going to see to it we don't fail.
Okay. Thank you, Sue. Really appreciate it. Okay, road commissioner report.
So we had a pretty significant rain event last week, and we did have some pretty substantial damage in the area. Causeway had a pretty severe washout, culvert failure. That was filled and patched. Both those culverts will be replaced this year. They need to be. We had numerous potholes that arose that were all patched and paved in. Both the culverts, you'd be happy to know, on Clark's Woods Road are 100% clear. The water level is down. The trapper has gotten, I think, 6 beavers and has been no activity in the past 7 days. So he doesn't know if they have moved further up in the Roberts Pond or whether they are just not moving right now, but there hasn't been any activity whatsoever. The shoulders have all been repaired over there, and that's all taken care of. The broken posts that were at the transfer station have been repaired, so that's been taken care of. And numerous road signs have been put up, and a few road signs have been continuously being stolen for the third time on Williams Road. It's the third set that's been put up, and they're stolen. We also, I don't know if, Donna, you had a chance to send out that email I forwarded to you from the DOT to the board on the flashing stop sign on Kennebunk, so all of you board members should have seen that. We own those signs. That contract was signed in 2016 by the board, and we own perpetual lifetime maintenance on that sign, and we're responsible for it. So we will have to be replacing it. Right now, I've had Dave put a sign up with a new road sign on top of it, so at least there's a stop sign there.
Well, nobody can see it anyway, right?
Right.
You can't. I mean, unless you clear all of Lyle's trees.
That's correct. You can't see it until you're right on it.
So why even have it?
Well, right now it's not there.
Right.
The right side is, because you can see the right side. So just so you'll know that we own it. And we own the maintenance on them, and we'll own them for life. So that's something to think about.
So did we get the sign back?
No.
So the cops didn't go after
the guy? I didn't hear anything else from DOT on that investigation. So, and a road sign they took also.
Yeah.
And the post.
Yeah.
But they left a 6x6 in the ditch.
That was broke. Yeah, it was broke.
Right, they didn't want that.
And there was no paint on it.
But they took the time to unbolt that whole system.
Because there was paint on it.
You know, so, at any rate, just so you know. And that's about it for today.
How much are they to replace?
Well, I'm assuming that we would want to replace it with the same model that's next to it on the other side. And it's around $3,800. Not installed.
Do we have to replace it?
I haven't dared ask the question, to be honest with you. That's why I put a stop sign right back up. We asked for it to begin with.
We did?
Oh.
We shot it on mine.
The board did in 2016.
I think we asked for a working light.
So they'll never get a working light there. That's shot down.
It's a solar light from Walmart put on top of it.
So
okay, thank you, Brad. So Parks and Rec had submitted a written report here. They had a take-home pumpkin craft on October 16th. They gave out 42 pumpkins and to-go crafts. Apparently Andy Zagway donated the pumpkins. They're going to have a November craft to go. And they said we are doing a thankful tree and turkey craft to go on November 16th at 10 a.m. at the library parking lot. December they're having a tree lighting. And then the ice rink Mike Gervais and his family have been working on lights in the concession stand at Chadbourne Field, and also lights to light up the ice rink. The ice rink's ordered, should be arriving. They will be sanding and painting the benches that are in the dugouts to use as benches for the ice rink. And they have swim lessons planned for the first week of November. And that's pretty much it. So they've been pretty busy. Cemetery Committee. It's your turn.
We're only here because we were asked to come. I mean, may I say that I'm sorry, I'm Katrina Randall, and I'm one of the road sign stealers. Not that I don't love coming to these meetings, but I've been doing it since 1990. In the future, because it says right on here what the agenda item is, if it's about POs. But now I have to wait to say, we know we have a member in our committee that chooses just to come in with receipts. We have a plan in place now. I will do this weekly. That person will not ever come here. And please tell Jeanette she may send him away. And then we will write up the POs as needed. And if there's anything else you need, I don't like y'all, but really, this has been a wait. An hour and a half to say, what else have we done wrong? This volunteer group.
Well, let's see.
You'll have to let me know who that is, Katrina.
Excuse me?
Let me know who that is. I don't know.
Well, have you got an issue with POs? You know Steve does that. Okay, so what are you here for? Pardon me, but...
And that clock is wrong.
So those are the...
Oh, so it's 7:28. Right. Same thing, 6.
Yeah. So we had a question because we had two purchase order requests, which is pretty much going to deplete the budget for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a question about flags, purchasing mm-hmm. flags, because what we did last year, we're not going to do this year.
I get that. We're all set.
Okay.
But see, I could have come over here.
We keep stubbing our toes on these issues.
We have about $900, $850 left. After we use our $7,500 for trees, we have huge totes of flags.
We did purchase flags this year. And it is to cover, I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can.
I understand, but when you buy them in May and want us to pay for them in July, it's two different budgets. And you can't be doing that.
Right, correct. And unfortunately, all that I did was reach out to get a price. But because of COVID, he purchased ahead because they said they would be available. Now, again, right. They're not supposed
that.
To, right. So, I'm trying to babysit as best I can here.
Well,
we have a challenging member.
Yeah.
What's that?
We have a challenging member, and he's not here tonight.
Right.
So, we know we're going to be at $826 in one pen after the trees, if they get approved. The best thing I can say is, I'll be in charge. Don't let anybody come in here without a PO. Don't allow them to put in a receipt. If they go and get something, and they didn't get approval, they're going to just have to deal with it. And then maybe they'll learn their lesson. Because it's not any of these three members here.
On the flags, I'm the one that caught the brunt of it because July 5th, I got a call, why hasn't this bill been paid? And it's like, we don't even have a purchase order.
Correct.
And for the next week and a half, it was multiple calls a day.
I totally understand.
Wanting to know why it's not paid.
Right.
So we need to make sure we follow the policy.
I agree.
So why can't one person in the committee be responsible for submitting receipts?
Well, we thought it was that way, but it turned out not to be that way.
Because we were all given PO sheets, five of us, and the bulk of us work full-time. And we have another person who works full-time on the Committee on Cemeteries. But when that person needs a bag of sand or needs whatever, you know, he was taken to going and buying this stuff and never charging it. And we find that we'll put in a PO for these materials. That's why we have a PO. But it's hard to be with that person all the time. And they do the lion's share of the work, but we're doing the best we can. And we do the weekends and that sort of stuff. So it's a scoop.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Thank you very much for coming in and patiently waiting.
You're welcome. I mean, I know at other meetings I've been able to speak early on. So wouldn't love that.
You can put that sign back anytime you want.
Oh, no. In the garage, along with all the other folks.
Mom and the bum.
You should sell it for $30.
No. Mom and the bum window.
No, the stuff was in the garage.
Under the new business, the YMCA contract renewal, I don't know if anybody's spoken with anybody at the Y yet. Should we be asking them to come in? What would you like to do? Yes, Joe.
Traditionally, they've usually got a number in mind. It usually takes a couple meetings with them. We usually talk about it and different things we want to see. One thing I noticed, years past, the picnic tables have been tied up against the trees. I think they're all still there.
Well, last time I was going to bring that up next.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's all right.
All right.
No, the picnic tables have been left out.
Yeah.
The lower parking lot, they left stuff sitting out there, tables, just left it. And at the end, they left the gates to the park wide open. They didn't bother locking them.
Years ago.
So we just need to have that discussion.
Maybe you have them in for, I hate to have friggin' workshops to you, but I don't know if you want to tie up a meeting or if you just want to have a work. Usually Matt and his boss, and I do the two of them together, I guess.
Isn't his name Andy?
I believe,
I think it is.
Yes, sir, you're right.
Yeah. He was the finance guy.
Yeah, and they've usually, it'd be nice to review the numbers, where our numbers were. We changed the pricing structure. They were supposed to promote what they call the pines that we rent out for events.
Of course, we got COVID right in the middle of it.
Yeah, there was, we usually have a meeting with them and strategy, and the pandemic has been, but it would be good to get both of them, I think, and I don't think you're going to, and then you'll get an idea where they are for numbers, because they're getting spanked with label like all the rest of us are. So, that's traditional. I don't know what you want to do now.
So we can reach out to them and see what we can set up for a time and a date and see what works. Oh, I know it is. Okay, we have, if there's anything else before we go on. We have an application from Funky Burrow for a restaurant renewal application.
Thank you.
Has this already gone to the state?
I just think we need to do it.
Donna, didn't he say that it's already been to the state and they're waiting for us to sign it?
He can't send it to the state until we sign it.
Okay.
That's what he has there now. That's what he's...
Well, the last page shows his liquor license. It doesn't expire until 22. That's what he's... So he's in good standing.
Yeah, he's never been an issue.
Oh, I mean, he's amazing. He's not expanding. He's not... Yeah. It's a simple renewal.
Right. Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
So I'm putting on my place to ask.
Okay, to approve it.
I'll second.
Tom seconds it. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. We've got the committee applications and I would like to review them, but I haven't even had a chance really to look at them.
So table?
To the next meeting, and that gives us a chance to look into things.
Audition here tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was looking at...
For the school board?
I wasn't looking at the school board. Yeah.
Do you have multiple applications?
You do tonight.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, why don't we take a quick look while everyone's here? It seems like this has been long enough.
Are you Chloe?
I am Chloe. Yeah, and I called twice back in September and again in October.
I only see one application.
It's over here. The application. It's just open seat on the screen.
And I only found out about the written application form this past week.
We have one opening.
And it's for the rest of the term. It's an 8-month. It's to continue. It's to complete Don Bean's term, and then it will go to ballot in the spring. So it's really an 8-month position.
The opening, is that from the gentleman that had a...
Yes, yeah. Because he wanted to attend by Zoom, and they said no.
Well, we made a policy vote that it would be in our best interest to have everyone attend.
I think that was a really poor decision.
Well, right. That's your opinion.
To me, that looks just like what's going on down in Virginia, but telling the people they should have nothing to do with the school.
Then maybe you should run for a school board.
You're trying to hide something. I'm just telling you what it appears to be. That's why I'm not willing to jump and make a decision.
Well, you're not on the school board, though, so how would you have a policy decision if you're not? You have policy decisions on this board. Your position here is to elect someone to fill that seat, not to discuss the policy that the school board made, but to fill the open seat. Your job is not to discuss school board policy. That is the school board's job.
Thank you. Amber.
Doesn't the charter say that if there's more than 90 days before the next election, that a special town vote has to be called?
No. It's only, so if they should show occur and what about this other thing, I'm a member of the board, so if you want RSC director, so the RSC director is in future determined by the state statute or something. And I believe that's where you guys can point, you point somebody to complete the term.
Yeah, that ain't right.
So there's basically one opening, two applicants.
Correct.
Did you guys reach out to the guy that ran? I know that was discussed.
Yes, he has been reached out to, and he's no longer interested in the position.
Yeah, I reached out to him directly, my running mate, when I ran for the seat this year.
Yeah, Norm wants to, but he didn't know how to go about doing it.
Well, did he reach out to the...
He didn't know he had to, same as you.
Well, I did reach out to the town and...
Well, right, but I'm saying, he doesn't know either.
But this is aware of it because I posted.
Okay, all right, please. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, we should table it and ask Norm to come in and we can talk with him and ask Chloe to come back in so we can...
Correct. I agree. And have Norm, can we get Norm an application or have we sent him an application?
I just got his email today.
Yeah, it just came in at 1:30 this afternoon, so.
It's available online.
Oh, yeah, okay. So he knows.
Yeah.
No, he will know.
Inform him. My only concern, and I express this as a school board member who now is sitting on the extra subcommittees that our person that resigned is on, and JoJo Dryden is sitting on the subcommittees as well, because we have to sit on two subcommittees each. So we're talking about multiple meetings a week. And at this stage, I'm going to meetings 4 days a week for the school board, filling in for this extra person that resigned. So the sooner we can get someone into that seat, the better. However that happens, if we have to wait another whole month, that's difficult. If it's another couple weeks, okay. You know, but it's already been 2 months since he resigned.
We're in the same position that you are. We're part-time, though. We all have full-time jobs. It's difficult to get everything done. And we don't want to do something happening on the same board.
I certainly understand that, and I think it's important to put the right position or the right person in the seat. I guess, in retrospect, you know, I called the day after I got an email from that school board member saying that he was resigning, and I immediately called here and expressed a communication. I look for a communication with the board so that that seat could be filled as soon as possible.
I think if you look back, we were not happy with the decision from the superintendent, and we sent a letter to the superintendent asking to reconsider. To have that gentleman who was more than willing to volunteer, and the decision was made to not do Zoom meetings. So
I think it's important, yes, and I understand that, and I'm aware of that.
So it's not like we didn't do anything.
I think it's important to say that the decision to not allow people to visit, to participate remotely, had to do with some of the confidentiality issues that we have to deal with on the school board. And an incident last year that happened where someone left their Zoom folder open and I was not on the school board then. So I don't know John personally, but the folder was left open and confidential information was shared with all of who was listening on Zoom from our executive session. So a decision was made by the board that because of some of those confidential situations regarding students, regarding faculty and whatnot, that to have somebody with a computer at home sitting wide open talking about these delicate matters was not in our best interest. So that's where that came from. When I received an email back that Don had resigned, I had no idea that he had medical issues. I had no idea anything about him because I was a new person on the board. So what I can tell you was, my vote was not a vote against him. I'm going to flat out say that. But it was a unanimous decision from the vote, from the board. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Rusty.
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes, Brian.
Do we know if there's any rules on family members being on the same board at the school board?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Okay. Just something to look into, maybe?
Yep, I agree.
I have one more thing, too, Bill, Dad.
Yes, Brian.
We applied for FEMA disaster relief money for this past rain event. So that application and funds have been submitted on last Friday.
Thank you.
Okay. I make a motion we go into executive session, Title 1 MRSA, Section 4568, reasonable personnel matters.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Yes.
It's 5-0. Thank you. We just wanted to make sure that you knew you were.
Are you going to need to record again?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to set it up that way you don't have to wait as long next time.
I sent you a different email.
Oh, okay. All right.